Hi, this is Hannes Finney with Storyworthy, obviously. And Christine and I want to thank you for all you've done. We are available on Stitcher, on SoundCloud. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. Keep telling your friends. Keep telling your enemies. Tell anyone that you know to keep listening to Storyworthy because it's worth it. It's worth it.
Hey, this is Steve Cooper from Cooper Talk, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from San Francisco. We are in the yard of Mike Rowe, host of Dirty Jobs.
Ah, Mike Rowe. That's a great show, right?
It is a great show. It's a disgusting show. It makes you realize that probably whatever job you're doing to just, you know, you're watching TV to distract yourself. You're like, well, my job isn't like that. I'm not pulling pig shit out of a, you know, out of a tube.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Well,
you know,
somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it. And yeah, he doesn't actually know we're here, so we're going to try and keep it on the down low.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, because he probably has, you know, earned enough money to buy some really heavy-duty weaponry, which is probably loaded with pig shit. So
well, wait till he hears who we have with us tonight.
Oh, my God.
Steve Cooper's here. Steve Cooper from Cooper Talk, Hannes.
Cooper Talk. What an oddly perfectly named show for Steve Cooper to have.
That is a good name for a show.
Yeah.
He has been on Storyworthy before. He talked about car accidents where
yes.
he grew up in New Jersey. That was his last story.
Yes,
about
exactly.
an accident he had.
But in today, New Jersey.
But today he brings forth the topic, worst job ever.
Worst job ever. And this, of course, is evocative of, I mean, everybody's had terrible jobs. But when you're in the show business, the business we call show, you've had a tremendous amount of terrible, terrible jobs.
Yeah, it's such an easy category. I'm shocked we haven't covered it before.
Yeah, most people. I mean, actually, the worst show business related, just barely show business adjacent job I ever had was dressing as Santa Claus outside a flower shop in North Hollywood.
And what did you do there?
Let me point out, this is quite a few years ago. So I might now be heavy enough and old enough and have enough gray in my beard to maybe be able to pull off a Santa Claus. But this is probably 15 years ago. So I'm really insulted and way too thin, although I didn't think so at the time, and not old enough. So I'm standing outside. It is a boiling hot day in the valley. And I'm outside this flower shop. I have a throne. I'm sitting in a plaster velvet throne in a ill-fitting costume with a terrible beard, waving at pickup trucks driving down Victory Boulevard in the valley. And every once in a while, a child would be walking down the street with
right.
a woman, or, well, woman with eight children walking down the street, a lot of Swedes in the valley, you know. And the kid would come up to me and start speaking Spanish. Of course, I don't speak Spanish.
Right.
Now, frankly, in this neighborhood, if you had hired a Spanish-speaking Santa, I think that really would have been a good plan.
That would have been a better idea. 85%
of your core child in the neighborhood. But no, they got me. I don't look like Santa. I can't speak Spanish.
Let me hear your ho-ho-ho.
I don't even think I did that. Okay, people were driving by. I was like, ho, 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 hello, hello. I was trying to do that shit,
I
right?
would run in the other direction
oh, no, no, no.
as fast.
This guy drives by, and this was the topper. A guy drives by, two adult men in their 20s in a pickup truck, and one guy leans out the passenger side. He's like, Santa, fuck you. And I'm like, wait, you can't tell Santa to go fuck himself?
That's
this
fantastic.
Is not. And I was like, oh, my God. That's my worst
showbiz job. So that's your very worst job.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, my worst job, I mean, I've had so many crazy jobs. And when I heard this topic, my first thought was when I was 17, I was hired to do this job where I would be a maid in the morning, like a housekeeper.
It sounds dirty already.
This is down in Ocean City, New Jersey. I graduated from high school.
Yeah.
I was only 17. 2 days after I graduated from high school, I hit the road and I go to Ocean City, New Jersey, because that's really the only place I knew outside of Pittsburgh.
Right.
Because that's
you're
where
being
we
a
would...
rebel by going where your family went every single summer.
Right. Because I knew nothing else. So that's where I went. And so I was supposed to be a housekeeper in the morning and a lifeguard in the afternoon because I had had my lifeguard certification. So the lady said, go up to room 16 or whatever and clean their bathtubs. And I was so I couldn't do it. I started.
Yeah.
And then I ended up walking downstairs and saying, I can't do this job.
You can't even
I felt
watch.
Very mature that I was able to just like say no. Like I said, I this is my
but
first time.
But not mature
time.
Enough to think that being a maid in a hotel meant you'd be cleaning toilets.
You didn't
make that connection.
No, I wanted to be a lifeguard.
You can't watch people brush their teeth.
That's true.
So cleaning a toilet is way that is not related to you directly. It's way beyond your.
So that would I would say would be my worst job. But honestly, so in terms of like that was like a humiliating experience. But I was only 17.
Yeah.
More recently, and I think you remember, I tried to give tours in Hollywood. You know, like Starline
tours. You succeeded.
And I did that for a summer, but it was absolutely horrible. Because
this is quite a while ago. Actually.
No. This is 2 summers ago.
Oh, right. I'm sorry, mixing it up with the star tours.
When I first got to Los Angeles 17 years ago, I did tours for the Hollywood, like I sold tours for the Hollywood
Star Tours
or whatever. But this time, this is just like 2 summers ago, I'm on top of the double-decker bus going through Hollywood with a microphone
talking to
tourists, I'm trying to do this.
Yeah.
And the problem is nobody speaks English.
Yes.
The microphones never work. Yeah. And you basically have to stand around on Hollywood Boulevard and wait until like a busload of people are accumulated to take the tour, which may or may not ever happen.
Yeah.
Meantime, you're getting paid like $8 an hour.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you would get tips. But not only are you not going to get tips, like
They don't speak English and they come from countries where you don't tip.
And all they want to hear is, you know, all they hear is blah, 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 Brad Pitt, blah, 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 Angelina Jolie. So you don't, it doesn't really matter what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But
they don't know if any information is correct. You could point.
Oh, they could care less.
You could
either.
Point
they
at the
care.
Hollywood, what was it, the Hamburger Hamlet. I think it's gone now, but
it's
I think
gone
it was
now,
there
yeah.
then. You know, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie eat lunch in the Hamburger Hamlet right there every day at 12 o'clock. They don't know.
They could care. Yeah, they don't know. All they want to do is, for tourists in Hollywood, I think a big part of it is just seeing the city, seeing the beautiful homes on the hill, enjoying the weather, and just kind of being here. I don't think nobody really cares about the specifics.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't understand. It's the names are so have such a lure that people will get down on the filthy sidewalk of Hollywood Boulevard next to the star of with a
right,
name
where
that
there's
they know,
like a name printed
the Marilyn Monroe,
in
and they will sit on this sidewalk, which has been covered in 50 years of urine and worse. And they will just be like, hey, I'll put my face down right now. It's like, what are you it's not even a statue of Marilyn or a picture of her.
Joe Wilson used to have a joke, and he would say, these people are coming into Hollywood, and they're taking pictures of letters in pavement.
Yeah.
Letters in pavement. It's not, the people weren't there.
Yeah.
There's no affiliation.
Yeah, it's not like this is where Marilyn Monroe filmed this.
No.
It's like, no, she just happened to... Well, I always loved... Yeah, the Walk of Fame, you know, for people who haven't ever been there, is straight... Not, it's not exactly... I mean, it's disappointing in a way, but it's also just an odd thing. Like, it goes... it doesn't just go down Hollywood, it also goes down Vine.
Right.
Okay? And Frank Sinatra's star is dead in the middle of a driveway.
Right, okay.
People drive over Frank Sinatra. Meanwhile, people you've never heard of are right at the intersection of Hollywood and Vine. The whole thing is just
completely strange. I don't know. Okay, so that was a bad job
That's
for
a bad
me.
Job,
it wasn't the worst job ever because I saw it for what it was, and then I quit within like 2 months.
It's true.
I thought I might be able to make it work, but it just didn't.
Yeah. I come to think of it, like my Santa job was a bad job for one day. But I've had like telephone jobs where I'm like fundraising. And I worked this one place on Wilshire Boulevard where most of the fundraising was for, you know, sort of left of center things that I could totally get behind.
Yeah.
Like, Greenpeace, which, you know, all right, even if I think they're a little wacky. So I'm like, okay, I'm basically down with Greenpeace. And UNICEF, sure,
right.
Saving children. But they had one client who was the Heritage Foundation, who was extremely right wing. And so you just can't feel more like a whore than like you're doing, you know, you're raising money for the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee the DCCC, as we like to say, if you watch the West Wing.
I never heard of that. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and it's like, okay, we're switching to the Heritage Foundation. And 1 minute ago, you were talking, you were reading a script saying, you know, the Democrats have got to take back the House. And now you're reading a script from the Heritage Foundation. And it says, Hillary Clinton is the devil.
That is so fascinating, Hannes. I don't think a lot of people realize that. But telemarketers, obviously, you're not personally invested in what you're trying to pitch. But I think people don't realize that you switch it.
I was like, I don't have to feel – I tried to sell office products once, and I couldn't do that. But I'm like,
yeah.
I can raise money for national parks. That I wouldn't feel guilty about
right.
that. But then you have this other thing, and it's just horrifying. And by the way, this gives me a little insight. You know how people everybody hates Obama, and they're like always – you know, Obama did this, and Obama did that. Every single thing that they are accusing Obama of in the past 6 years,
mm-hmm.
they were before they ever heard of Obama, they were accusing Hillary Clinton of she was going to do that
mm-hmm.
because she was the presumptive nominee.
Well, those are just the party lines, right?
Yeah, but it's like it's so specific. Like they just – as a, she's a terrible person. She lost. He won. He's a terrible person for the exact same reasons.
Right.
They didn't even come up with new reasons why he's a terrible person. It's just they changed the gender of the script. It's very strange.
Okay, listen, one more bad job that I had. I mean, I've had so many, but yeah. here's another one. When I used to teach traffic school, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't the bad job because then I just, you know, it was basically getting stage time, 8 hours a day of stage time and also trying to, you know, talk about red lights. But on the side of teaching traffic school, I used to have to work in like their office at the yeah. improv comedy traffic school, their office, where I would have to have a headset on in front of a computer yeah. selling road rage programs right. to people in the state of Indiana and Texas. Because you know how some states have traffic school like California
yeah, yeah.
or to get to lower your insurance rates in case you get into a, right. A moving violation situation.
Yeah.
Well, there are other states that have road rage programs that if you get accused of road rage, you have to take a program. It was a VHS series of tapes, and you have to call and order that program from me.
Nice.
And I'm going to sell you a road rage program. And let
Wait
me tell
a minute,
you,
but if they
the people that have
ordered,
to order.
Why is it a hard sell?
Because they have to order this and they are pissed off. Remember, they have road rage and now they have to order a VHS to take the course for $39.95. Plus shipping
so
and handling
you,
all this
even
stuff.
Even though they have absolutely no choice but
right.
to order it.
Right, but to order it. And often they were calling from prison because it was part of their time while they were in prison. Anyway, that was probably the worst job.
That was probably, yeah, because you were like, hello? Hello, I'm checking for Hollywood, California. Really? I'm in Leavenworth. What are you wearing? That's got
something
not
like
be
that.
A good, yeah, that's not good.
That was bad. All right, so Steve Cooper's here, and he's got a worst job ever story, and I look forward to hearing that.
Yes.
But before our guest comes on, folks, we did want to remind you that if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, that would be fantastic.
Yes, and the new way we're asking you to do that is Patreon. It's patreon.com. You can find the ad on our website,
storyworthypodcast.com.
There's a little video.
A video.
It's amusing. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make the statement. You'll be amused by this. I didn't say you'd fall out of your chair. I say that if you like listening to us at all, you'll like watching us for, you know, 3 minutes. Other people, we looked at other people's videos, 48 minutes.
Yeah, what are they talking 48, about?
No. If 3 minutes, you get the idea. If you can help us with $2 a month, $3 a month, $5 a month, it really will make this show work.
Plus, we have a brand new website.
The show doesn't work in a vacuum. There's money going out.
Yeah, there is.
Money needs to come in.
Also, storyworthypodcast.com, as you know, Han, it's a brand new website. It's all very exciting.
Yes, it's very exciting. It's very clean.
It's very clean.
IKEA-like. But again, except that you can, in fact, get out of the building and there are no meatballs. Other than that, it's very much like IKEA.
And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, folks, at Storyworthy. All right, you guys, wherever you are, stay tuned because Steve Cooper is on his way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have the champ, Sugar Ray Leonard.
And I'll be talking about the continuity of living and life.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hey, it's Steve Belanger from The Gamut with Steve Belanger. You are listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. Okay, we've been asked, in quotation marks, to leave the property of Mike Rose's estate here in San Francisco. So now we're just wandering down the street, and we're hoping we're going to go to Chinatown. It's about 35 miles away, but I think we can make it.
It's not. San Francisco isn't 35 miles long. I mean, what are you talking about?
Well, that's true. That's true.
It's like 4 miles from the, what would you say, from the wharf to the business district. What do you call that?
Downtown?
No. Well, yeah, that's true, but along the Embarcadero. Now I'm getting all confused. I'm turning around.
Someone give me a crab. I can't think without a crab in my hand, San Francisco.
All right, you guys, Steve Cooper's here right now. He is the host of the extremely popular radio show Cooper Talk, Hannes. I love the show Cooper Talk.
I do.
And I tell you,
I like the slideshow Cooper face. That's a new thing that he has where it's just his face.
Nice.
3,500 photographs of his face.
When I have a guest on Storyworthy, I often look to listen to them first if they've already been on Cooper Talk. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's one of my resources, as it were.
Yes,
Steve Cooper.
Yes.
Where he is only as hip as his guests.
Oh, we're still, we could have the hippest people in the world here, still wouldn't be hip.
I know, that's the problem.
Not remotely.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like Joe Friday compared to our guests.
Well, his angle on his show, Hannes, Cooper Talk, is that he's basically talking about the business, show business, that is.
Or the industry.
The industry.
If you're really in show business, you don't call it show business, you call it the industry.
Really?
I don't know. I just made that up. How would I know? I'm barely in. I'm barely hanging on by my fingernails.
And you can find Steve Cooper over at coopertalk.net and also on Twitter at coopertalk. So, folks, wherever you are, put your hands together for Steve Cooper.
Wow. This clapping from outside, it doesn't echo. I got to tell you, it's funny. Those jobs, everyone was talking about jobs. And one thing is, if you're in the entertainment business, you've had lots of jobs. And I hit the great age of 50 a while ago, and I was taking inventory on the jobs I've had. And it goes back to when I was a kid. And I know I grew up back east. And so the first job everybody had, there's two jobs every kid had. One was being a paperboy, which just sucked dick because it's basically, now I'm going to tell you, it's sitting there. You sit there and you're on your bike with like 35 pounds of papers on your back and you're delivering it. And, you know, in the winter, it gets snowy, it's icy, your bike's going out of control. So you do that, and I always had that idiot who would never pay. It was like this rich Jewish family, and I'd knock on the door, and I knew they were home, but I swear, like, they knew my footsteps, because as soon as I started walking up, the lights went out. And it's like, you don't owe me that much money. So I did that, and I didn't make any money. And then, of course, you mowed lawns, which is great when you're, you know, 9 years old, pushing a mower in, like, 95-degree weather with 100% humidity. I mean, your parents didn't give you water. It was a time where, you know, you drank out of a hose, and no one got sick. And that's like, so I went through these jobs, and, you know, and then you went to high school. And when I went to high school, I went to a very good school in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and we had that, not work release. It was when you would get out, you could get work study. You could get out of work early, and we got to school and go to work. And for us, there was a turnpike. The Jersey Turnpike was right there. And it was the exit 3A. It was a Roy Rogers, and it was a Marriott. And everybody worked there. I mean, I went to my high school reunion, and, like, these guys who were big lawyers, they all worked there. But we all were dishwashers. And we would work with felons, and we weren't used to felons. And, like, the kitchen, the cook would be, like, dropping acid before he came in. And we're, like, 17. But we had fun. So you go through that, you know, the jobs, and you get out of high school and college, you know, and then I sold Cutco knives for a while, which it was like cutlery. And like people said, oh, you can make money off this. You're going to make good money. And of course, I never heard anyone say, oh, I made $100,000 selling knives door to door. And then my first job out of college was I sold fax machines. And back then, no one had fax machines. And it was, I mean, I sold a $10,000 fax machine. I don't know how I did it. And the only reason I didn't sell copiers is because I didn't have a van. I had a Fiero. And I couldn't fit my copier in the van. So those are the jobs I had. You know, I had a long, great jobs when I was doing stand-up on the road. I worked with my friend's dry cleaner. And that's the first time I worked with people who weren't really college educated. And you don't get your jokes. And you sit there and just feel weird. And you're dealing with these idiot customers. So I thought, hey, you know, it's all right. You know, everything's good. I've passed that. So I moved to L.A., and a little while into it, I'm waiting tables to make money, because everyone does that, and everyone says they're going to wait tables and then become an actor, but they don't. They just pick up more shifts and go out with partying with the rest of the staff. And then I got this job. I was writing internet jokes. I was writing for a company with my friend Jeff Martyr. The company was called Skliff. I would drive to Long Beach. I would write like 30 jokes a day, but I still kept my waiting table. So I'm living high. You know, I'm like, all right, I just gone through a divorce. I'm dating. I'm, you know, having money to burn. Well, then the crash comes and all the internet companies go. Yeah. So here I am. I'm waiting tables. That's it. I'm used to this money. I'm waiting tables. So my buddy, an old comic friend of mine, calls me and he goes, "Hey, I have a great opportunity for you." And I'm thinking, great, because this guy's called and, you know, tries this stuff like, well, if you sell this or sell this goji juice or crap like that, never works. So he says, "Here's the job. It's a marketing job." I go, "Great, what's it for?" He goes, "It's for organic soup called Walnut Acres." Now, at the time, there was no organic. I mean, people didn't know about organic. I mean, it was a time where people would buy organic fruit, and then they run, like, water over it, which then it's not organic because you just put crappy pesticides on the fruit. If you don't know that, that's if you buy organic fruit and you wash it, you're fucked because it's no more organic. It's like that's the way it happens. So he goes, "The job is we're going to have a big – they have a big greenhouse. They go to farmer's markets." And I'm like, "Cool, cool." And they go, "And we give the soup out. And our demographic is women 25 to 50 who look healthy, you know, because the soup goes for $4 a jar." And there was cool soups. There was 10 of them, but we had tomato basil. We had butternut squash. We had peach salsa and some other salsa. So I'm like, "All right." So I'm like, "This sounds like a great job." And he goes, "Yeah, you just have to hand it out." I go, "All right." And he goes, "But yeah, this is before I got my promotion." He said, "You have to dress like a chef." And I'm like, "All right, you know, I'll dress like a chef. What the hell?" I mean, I said, "Well, what's it pay?" And he goes, $21.50 an hour. I said, "Hey, I'll dress like a chef and give out soup." So I started dressing up, you know, like a chef, and we'd have groups of chefs. It was very nasty. It's like if we saw Santa Claus groups, we want to knock the crap out of them. It was like Jets versus Sharks. You know, we'd like have gangs. And so we'd be giving the soup out, and it was great. So he goes, "Hey, there's another opportunity." I go, "What's that?" He goes, "Well, they need people to dress up like vegetables." And I'm going, "Wait a second. What do you mean?" He goes, "Okay, they know you have a comedian background. We have three spots. We have a corn, we have a carrot, and we have a tomato." And I go, "Well, I don't know." And he goes, "But it pays $37.50 an hour." I said, "Fuck that. I'll dress as a rutabaga. I don't give a crap." But I get the thing. So they picked me for some reason to be the corn. And what's cool was these outfits were organic outfits. So I had to put on tights, these little green tights. And then I put on this shell that I looked more like a mutant ninja turtle than a corn. But the best part was there was a hat. There was this hat, and it looked like a foam yarmulke made with kernels. Yeah. So every day I'd have to sit there, and we're going out in public. Now we're going out to like Third Street Promenade, Westwood, and I'm dressed as a corn, and then there's a carrot, and the carrot was this totally bar brawling guy. Like, you wouldn't expect him to dress as a carrot. Like, his nose was like on the side because he told me he got drunk in North Hollywood and there was a loose parking meter and a homeless guy hit him in the face with a parking meter. Now, he wasn't in a suit. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, okay. And then there was this tomato. There was this cute little blonde girl. She was a tomato. And we would all go out and we would be in the greenhouse, this big greenhouse, and we would give soup out. But then the tomato, we were messing around one time and we pushed her over and she fell on the ground and she had a big tomato suit and we started spinning her around. Well, she got fired. Okay, how do you explain to your parents you got fired from being a tomato? I mean, it's the worst thing. So then it was just down to there was two of us, me and the carrot. And what we would do is we would go to these shows and we would get paid for 8 hours. But once you gave the soup away, you could go home and still get paid for 8 hours. So we would just give the soup to anybody. Fuck the demographics. It was like, hey, we're giving the soup to kids. Okay, kids, homeless people. But then we started copping an attitude because people would just come up and try to get more soup. And we're like, no, no, no. We were like the original soup Nazi. The hell is Seinfeld? We're like, no, no soup for you. And which is worse when it comes from someone dressed like a Ninja Turtle. And I remember this one lady came up and goes, how do we know? We give them, she goes, how do we know you guys aren't terrorists and you spiked this soup? And I'm like, lady, I'm a 35-year-old guy dressed like a fucking piece of corn. You think I'm giving it away? So we took her soup and she got pissed. But the best thing about the job was she was all pissed at us. But the best part about the job was I would go with the driver. We had a guy who drove the greenhouse. And it was a huge greenhouse. And we would go and we would bargain. So we would sit there and we go, hey, because it's farmer's market. So you go, hey, I'll give you a case of soup for some of those fruits and vegetables you have. And I started getting persimmons. I never knew what the persimmon was. And there was like the hard skin and the soft skin. Sometimes we would really go crazy, get ahi tuna. The driver was so good at the bargaining. He took like five things of soup and got like a bracelet for his girlfriend for her birthday. And it came to a point where I always had soup in my car. So it was like I would be at bars and I would get free drinks. I'd be like, hey, man, I'd pick up a girl. Hey, you like organic food? I could check that. And I would like, instead of buying a girl a drink, I would give her like peach salsa. And so I'm wearing this suit and it was fun, but it's embarrassing because you're at the promenade. And one time the driver, well, that driver and the guy who ran it, and the guy who ran it, his name is Zane Lamprey, who later went on to do the show Three Sheets. Well, I'm sitting there in my corner, I'm giving it out. And Zane and the driver, who's a good friend of mine, I've known forever, just sit there in the middle of a packed Saturday of Thursday promenade, yelling at me and laughing. They don't know me, just going, hey, look at that asshole. He's dressed like a piece of corn. Ah. And I felt like 2 feet tall. And the only reason I didn't get pissed was because if I was in the other position, I would have done it too. And you would get these looks from people, and the whole time you're sitting there, and you start, they judge you. And, you know, and it just, you feel awful because, you know, they're judging you, but they don't know you're making a lot of money. So it's like kids, like these punk kids would come up and they'd be like, hey, yeah, and we'd be like, you know, go to hell. It's like, you know what? You don't even know who your dad is. So go screw yourself. I may be a corn, but I know the Green Giant's my dad. So we did it for like 6 weeks. And I remember one time when we were driving from a gig, we were getting paid 8 hours. So $37.50, we're getting $300 a day. I'm driving back with the Carrot, and he has this old crappy 280ZX, and it's got no air conditioning. And I'm in a t-shirt, and I'm still wearing the green tights. And I was like, screw it, I'm wearing the corn hat. So I'm wearing the corn, and we're driving down the 405, and I know people are looking at us like, what the hell? And we just look at each other and laughed, and we said, you know what? We just gave all our soup away in 3 hours. We made $100 an hour. So when I look at about it, it was a crappy job for that side. But I'll be honest, you know, we all have bad jobs. And that was like one of the most embarrassing jobs. I mean, you're just not getting laid telling people you're a piece of corn. But I figured it out, and I figured this out for you guys, that what would have happened. If someone said to me now, Steve, we will give you this job as the corn, I would take it in a heartbeat. Because I figured if I worked that 40 hours a week, okay, I'd be making $1,500 a week. Okay, which would have, you know, over the time I made, would be $80,000 a year. And I'll tell you something, I would proudly drive in my BMW convertible with that fucking corn yarmulke on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not good at math, but those numbers add up.
Oh, it was when you look at it, it was a very lucrative job.
No, wait, Zane Lamprey ran this thing?
Zane was not, he was working on stuff, and it was a... He knew my friend Neil Bobo because Zane was...
Yeah, I know Neil.
Yeah,
you know Neil. And I was on Zane's show.
Yeah, well, Zane, before he did the show, he had this idea and he saw a marketing gig. So he knew Neil and they called me and said, do it. And they called like a bunch of chefs and there was a bunch of us who were the vegetables.
Not real chefs, pretend.
No, they just gave you a chef outfit. Right. They gave soup out.
Right, I get it.
Yeah, but so Zane, and I met Zane through that, and it was funny because he would get us and, you know, and then there's another guy who ran it, and you never feel good about yourself when you're putting green tights on.
I don't know about that. I might disagree. Because tights,
no,
I mean...
men don't like to wear tights.
Okay,
a woman can wear tights and be like, oh, I'm cute, I'm sexy.
Yeah, because tights kind of feel good a little bit. It's because like all tight on your legs.
Hairy legs, and it's like in the summer.
Yeah, see, where our balls are all squished up.
Ew.
And they're organic.
They're off to one, organic balls on one side of your dick. Because it's not in the middle. And
what does that mean, organic tights? Are they made out of hemp cloth?
I guess the suit was organic, and it's so funny.
You know what, somebody just lied to you about that. There's no fucking way they spent money.
I know, and you believed it, and you're still repeating it 15 years later.
Why would they make it up?
Steve, whatever happened to Walnut Acres?
I have no idea. It's so funny. They were the big rage.
And somebody look that up. Somebody look up Walnut Acres.
I think they're still around, but they just, I guess it didn't work. I mean,
they dropped the vegetable campaign.
Exactly. But the soup was good stuff. It was in a jar.
Oh, interesting.
And it was all good. I mean, it was good for you.
Was the peach salsa soup supposed to be hot or cold?
No, it was a peach salsa.
Oh, so it wasn't soup at all.
I thought it was soup too.
No, I'm sorry. They had like 2 sauces and 8 soups.
Okay.
And we only got select ones.
I see. Right.
Okay, Walnut Acres.
Because I like soup. I mean, I would be all in for this. You know, a big carrot giving me some soup. I'm in.
But then, you know, little kids come up and they start,
it's
funny how people just automatically assume that they have the right to abuse people in costume. I work at a theme park, and it's like I'm with people in costume all the time. One of my jobs is to stop, like, you know, Dora the Explorer for me and punch in the back of the head. Now, why you would punch someone in the back of the head, you don't know. Why you punch someone dressed as an 8-year-old girl in the back of the head, I don't know. It's like, people just are abusive.
So he's like character. So Hannes is like a character wrangler.
I know.
And he's like a character like a doorman, not a doorman, but a security.
I'm character security. Yes, I'm characters. Yes, I'm the bodyguard.
Well, you know what's weird about those characters? I know a guy who worked in Philadelphia. They do this those haunted house things. They do it. They're spec with
sure.
it.
Sure.
Like, oh, that is the worst. Go finish your story.
The guy said he was one of the monsters, and basically they had to do this because one, people would be scared, but then two, people would do it on purpose. They had to wear catcher's masks under the thing, because people, especially the dumb South Philly Guidos, would go to punch these people. Like, they punch, like, think it's funny, I'm going to punch this guy. So they had to wear these catcher's masks.
That's brilliant.
So when they got punched, their hand,
that's
hurt
the
their
craziest
hand.
Thing.
But they should do that. Yeah. No, they punch.
Why would you punch someone?
So, Hannes, you've worked these horror nights.
Yeah,
at the Universal
I will never
Studios.
Work Hollywood horror nights again.
Tell it's, us about
people
that.
People are, well, you can just imagine, it doesn't, they don't have to be Guidos. Anyone under 20 years old who, believe me, has already drunk a lot before they got to the park and smoked a lot, and now people are jumping out at them. And the entire purpose is you go to a haunted house of any kind, anywhere, to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to get pissed off when you are successfully scared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, man, it's like, you. What are you? Why did you come here?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't want people to jump out at you with a chainsaw or a clown, a zombie clown to quickly and just fall out of the sky, or a harlequin, you know, oh, we have these harlequins.
What
you
does
know
that mean?
Harlequin's like
girls?
A clown, but no,
oh.
no. A harlequin is like a really large, super crazy. Like the Joker is based on a harlequin.
Oh,
Joker in Batman.
Yeah, it's so scary.
It's super scary. You would shit your pants.
Yeah, I believe that.
I'm not kidding. Well, yeah, once, Christine, years ago, not forced me, but I decided to go along with no interest, went to the Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh,
haunted.
That's right, the haunted thing.
And you spent your entire time with your head buried in the shoulder of whoever happened to be standing next to you.
Jim Coughlin.
It's like, why did you waste all the... It doesn't matter. You would... If a stranger were next to you, you would have grabbed that person and shoved
I was terrified.
Your, well, they, why did is, you... You didn't see anything.
It's more startling. Like, I think for them, it's like they startle you. They jump out.
Right.
That's
and
the
so
point.
So you sit there walking, and it's just startling. But, I mean, you get scared, but after a while, you're like... Okay. All right. We're waiting. You know, it's,
if you're yeah, so, if you're not a if
you
you're
guys,
not an
first
asshole.
First of all, you're both old. Okay, you're both old, white, bitter men. That's what you
I'm
are.
I'm not bitter.
Now,
I'm just
listen,
old and white.
No,
yeah.
But are you both trying to say that? So the worst job ever is being a character on a Halloween horror night. Is that what you're saying?
That's actually a much worse job than any of the other character jobs because you will be physically and verbally abused.
I feel
by
bad.
Moronic teenagers and older.
I feel bad for the mattress guy.
The mattress guy.
Have you ever seen, like, I was going back east the whole time to my girlfriend's before she moved out, we would drive down Route 70 in New Jersey, and there was this guy, and it was, like, hot. I mean, like, hot. And he's dressed as a big mattress, and he's just sitting there. And I wanted to get
I've
out and, like,
never
push
seen
him
that.
Over.
Yeah.
It was a mattress. Or the other guys I
he
feel
couldn't lay on. He couldn't
no,
lay
he
on himself.
Like,
it was
standing
probably an actual mattress they hollowed out, which is horrifying, I'm sure, yeah.
But then near me in Burbank, I have a guy who, like, spins the sign for the mobile place.
Yeah, the spinners. Yeah.
But he's just, like, he's just singing to himself, and it's like, no one's looking at that sign. No one's going to go, oh, look, there's a sign spinner that says get a mobile.
I disagree.
We're all gonna go online. If you're going to get a cell phone, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the T-Mobile store. It's like you're not going to go to, like, some small, you know, the
listen,
little
I am
mom
always
and pop
shocked.
Store
I am so shocked by how many people go through third-party long-distance services or third-party cell phone services. I don't know why they do it either. But in Los Angeles, it's very common to see different cell phone providers, but they're not different providers. They're right. just a third party.
Because they got yeah. no credit. That's
I don't understand.
They can't get approved.
Oh, they can't get approved. Interesting.
Interesting.
Well, listen, there's a spinner in my neighborhood that's very effective because it's actually a mannequin that's spinning a sign.
I
so you're...
By. Yeah. I drove by one of them in Burbank. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, there was a girl in a bikini.
It's the best spinner ever. Yeah, it was a girl in a bikini.
And I go, this girl doesn't move. And I went, oh, I'm an idiot.
It's a mannequin spinner.
Sometimes it won't be like, they won't be in front of a store. Now, in other parts of the country, I'm not sure if they know. It's like a big sign, and the guy's spinning it and tossing it up in the air like a guy throwing pizza dough. It's amazing. But sometimes instead of like, hey, I'm standing in front of where I want you to be, it'll be like, come see our new condos we built three blocks this way. And he's spinning the sign. It's like, I can't read the sign. Also, because the sign is spinning,
right?
It's pointing in every possible direction. It's a big arrow, but it's pointing. I don't know where it never stops moving. So where are you pointing?
Oh,
it doesn't make any sense. I'm not kidding.
Let me ask you this, Steve. Did that tomato get fired because she was spinning on the floor?
They Well, it was, she was.
Yeah, you guys,
ground.
Like a couple of assholes, instead of being sympathetic and picking her up.
No, we were,
no,
we were joking her. We
you
were
just like,
her.
you just lost the tomato.
No, well, she would show up late. She was like, she didn't, man, she didn't give 100% to the character.
Fuck that tomato.
Fuck the tomato. No, it was funny because I guess she was sitting there and, I mean, they said she got fired because I think they'd seen her before and they just said she wasn't professional enough. And I'm like, how can you be professional dressed like produce? You know, it doesn't.
I've never had to do that.
This is the thing about my job. It's like, everybody's like so serious. And I tell people about my problems, you know. I had some real problems with Curious George today. This guy was a fucking, and they look at me like I'm out of my mind. I go, oh yeah, I have a ridiculous job. Why did I, and it's like, why everybody acts like we're launching missiles? It's a theme park. Or
right.
It's
if Universal
park,
Studios,
and nobody
right.
who works there is amused.
If right. the theme park closed tomorrow, the world would not change that much.
No. Anything could close tomorrow. NASA could close tomorrow. You know, okay.
Oh,
that's
God,
bad.
But you always need to pull
hang
it
on.
Down,
this is
man.
Much more. I've found the sweet southwestern peach Walnut Farms salsa.
Okay.
There it is right
that's
there.
Beautiful
they have
looking.
They have, now, interesting. They have sauces. They have salsas. They do not apparently make soup anymore.
Oh, well, see, they
thanks
must
for tanking
out.
That.
Hey,
thanks,
no.
Obama.
Hey, listen, man, I know they had the tomato basil. I mean, it was good soup. And that's, it was great, though.
By the
people
way,
would come up to me and they
sure.
go, hey, Cooper, do you have any soup? And yeah. I go, yes. I go to my car. I was like a drug dealer. I'd be like, yeah, I'm giving out a free product. You know, but I only did it just because I was like, we would just take it just because we would take it because it was there. I mean, we sit there going, do you really need 4 cases of soup in your trunk? No, but we're like, hey, the more we take, the shorter our day is. And
yeah.
that's the way it was. And
I love that.
We would go back and we would get, and I never had to push the soup. Pushing the soup was hard, but when you were the Thai talent, you know, the chefs had carts. They'd have to drop the soup off for us.
I see.
Because
there was a whole chain of command.
The yeah, there's the, we were yeah. the stars.
Were you an ear of corn or just a kernel?
No, I had a kernel hat. My body was.
Were you were wrapped in like a pupusa?
Like, yeah, like a corn with a
husk.
Yeah, so I was a whole piece of corn.
Yeah, I get it.
Or an ear of corn.
Yeah.
An ear of corn, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And the greenhouse, they pulled around the greenhouse.
Huge, a huge greenhouse. They actually
I mean,
had
this
organic
was like
they
a
really
production.
Put money into it because
yeah,
I'm surprised they were paying
else.
You this much. Usually yeah, they screw the performers
let
on
me
this,
ask you something, Steve.
Private gigs.
Whatever happened to drinking out of the hose?
You know what? What happened is everyone's a pussy.
Yeah.
I mean, I sit there, they don't even have water fountains anymore. Everyone's doing like water, this, water, that. Well, first of all, there's not a lot of hoses around anymore. I mean, you don't see
not
there,
as many as yeah, there should
but there
be.
There used to be, or you drink out of the spigot. You just walk up and you get the hose, and that was like the first flavor of water. It was grass. It was like because you'd sit there,
yeah.
And you're like, oh yeah, but you did it, and it was hot, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You lived back in Jersey,
oh yeah,
you lived, so it
yeah.
was hot.
None of
was,
these kids ever, yeah, none of us ever dropped dead from drinking out of a hose.
Yeah,
it's so
I mean,
true.
We do it, we do that, and it was just it was the hose water, or you'd even the cup out of the faucet, you know, you cup under the faucet. You know?
Oh, I'm much worse than that. I would just stick my face into the sink under the faucet.
Oh, I do that. I still do that when I brush
oh, I
my
that.
Teeth. When I
yeah,
drink,
that's what
yeah.
I do.
I stick and my
you do your
like,
whole head under the faucet.
And I go, why don't we use a cup? I
yeah,
can, I can do this
yeah. The cup
the
is disgusting because it ends up with a residual toothpaste on it, and it like this kind of like gross
mine
white
my
like lip
OCD. So
yeah, it's like no.
This is important talk. I'll say that
this is important. You know, this podcast gold old bitter white man talking about how they like to suck faucet.
Exactly.
I want you to put that in the tags.
That's
suck
right.
faucet.
That's right. Hey, tell me about selling knives. Did you ever do that?
I did it, and it was basically, you know, the big production. Like, it's Cutco. It's the king of cutlery.
And you would be
and
in grocery stores?
You would, no, you would, well, we went door to door. And I was like, because my parents said, get a job. You're out of college. You know, and I'm like, all right. And then I didn't tell about the job where I had a job at a warehouse putting bottles in these pharmaceutical bottles in these containers, and that you could, if you were a part time, you could wear whatever you wore, and if you were full time, there were like all these old bitter ladies, and I wore like this cool shirt, and the girl was like, "Motherfucker, dressing like a punk rocker."
I was like, "Oh my gosh!" But you were all just like in a big room putting plastic
yeah.
bottles in boxes,
yeah, and the things would slide down, and you know, and
so it's like a factory. It's like
yeah,
the Vernon
factory.
Shirley,
it was like,
but
and,
not.
No, it was
for
Lucy
beer.
And Ethel, and you.
Exactly. And okay. Yeah, on break, we would go down and go
and
back to my
were,
house and drink and get hammered and go back.
And you were a rebel, and you would wear a crazy
well,
shirt.
Just that's what I dressed. You know, I was right. like, you know, I'm sorry, I don't get the white polyester outfit and have the bitterness. You know, the one I always get the good jobs because the one lady. I mean, she would sexually harass me. I mean,
nice.
She would sit there. I mean,
awesome.
it was like an. She'd be like, "Oh yeah, you know, if you ever want to get lucky, my car's out back and stuff like that." And
how
she,
old were you? Like 22.
I was like, yeah, maybe 20. I don't even know. And she was just like, she looked like hair, like, remember Susan Powder? Yeah. Stop the Insanity. She had that hair, and she's like, yeah, this fat lady with too much tiny face.
She's probably makeup. 28, but she exactly. looked
but she always gave me good jobs. Like, I got the good bottles to put. I didn't have to do the heavy work.
Because you had a nice ass.
Yeah, well, I had no ass, but she thought I was young and cute. She thought she had a chance. Me.
So, Steve, that's what Steve, makes you so interesting. On. You have so much history,
Christine,
and you've done
on,
so many
on.
Things.
I know. I'm sorry. Wait. When, how many times did you bang her in that car?
Yeah, I know.
That's, how many times?
Did you?
Don't lie to me.
No, I never. Never? No. No.
Did you let her give you a handy?
No. I should have. I might have got, you know.
Well, you know, you could have got a BJ and pretended it was.
Okay, so then how did you start doing the knife job then?
Well, that was just one of those things. Someone said, hey, you should do this. I knew a guy who was doing it. And you sit there and they give you the knives. And the other one I sold it to my aunt, Aunt Ruth. Like, she said, oh, come on. I mean, she bought it out of sympathy.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
But I knew a
so
girl
sad.
Who's like, my brother made so much money. I'm like, and her brother went to college with me. And when her brother was a freshman, we were sophomores, we were juniors, we got him really drunk. And, like, drew shit on him. But he was like, this kid wanted to be popular, so he would go and buy all these McDonald's cheeseburgers and give them to people. I'm like, there's no way this loser made so much money
right.
selling knives.
But right.
I thought maybe he's such a loser, he made money selling knives because he focused his energy into knives and killing us all one day.
Right,
so that's
right.
what I figured out.
Oh, my gosh. You're so funny, Steve Cooper. You are really entertaining. I am so happy you came today.
I'm glad.
Hey, listen, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Sure.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
All right, school days. Okay, we're going to talk about school days. When I was young, there was two guys, Mike Nolan and Dan Yokas, and they used to pick on me, and they used to push me around in the bus stop. And I remember it was like in ninth grade, and I got this really nice football for Christmas, and they said, well, let us borrow it, Cooper. And they borrowed it, and they never gave it back to me. So I always bitter towards them, okay? Years later, I ran into Mike. Well, I ran into Mike twice, and I still remembered what happened. And this goes back to school days, about how you get that when you get picked on, it comes back to you. One time I saw him at a bar. And he said, oh, yeah, good to see you, Cooper, blah, 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 you know, that crap. And he said, yeah, I have a drinking problem now. You know, I got thrown out of the army because I drink too much. And what did I do? I bought him a shot because I was like, fuck you for picking my football. And then I was doing a comedy show, and he showed up. It was the comedy cabaret in Cherry Hill, New Jersey years ago. And the headliner was a guy named Pat Godwin, who was big on the radio. And so before the show, I'm like, Pat, I'm like, look at this asshole. This guy stole my football, man. He used to pick on me. I hate this guy. So he comes up in between shows, and he's like, oh, Coop, great to see you. Hey, Pat, I'm a big fan. You know, me, Cooper, we've been friends forever. And Pat looked at him and goes, you know what? I heard you stole his football, you dick. And I got my revenge for my school days. And that was it.
That's a perfect story, Steve Cooper. Perfect
and
story.
As I always point out, whenever anybody tells a story about their childhood or high school, they always use a full name.
You have to
nobody
use first and last name.
Nobody says my friend
name.
Bob and Jim. That never, or my enemy. It's always a full
you love
identifier.
It.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit what's happening with Cooper Talk.
I'm booked for August. I have some really good guests coming on. I have Gregory Harrison.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I have Mark Valley, mm-hmm. who comes on once a year, because Mark's been on a lot of TV shows.
Okay.
And got a lot of writers. I have Cindy Caponera coming on. She wrote for the Saturday Night Live. Bob Zaney.
We've recently had about four or five authors. Yeah, I love interviewing.
There's a lot of TV writers, like Paul Greenberg's an Emmy-winning writer. Him, Jerry Miner's an actor-writer. I just had Jason Nash on, he's in that movie called Jason Nash is Married.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good movie. It's just the thing. Yeah. It's like he said, I'll come on if you watch the movie. And I did. And I liked them when people, you know, when I get something, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You go watch it. And I really enjoyed it. I was like, this is
we
really
had Michael Stahl David on last week, and I watched his movie the night before. You know, he came on the show. And I love that. I love seeing an actor and then meeting them. It's great.
Yeah, so that's it. I just keep getting guests. I mean, I have a bunch of people.
How many shows have you recorded, Cooper Talks?
Well, I don't know. In the beginning, I didn't put them on my podcast because I didn't have a site. On my website now, I have 275.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And then I have I recently put a different venue. I have it's a live bootleg, Cooper Talk live bootleg, and it's Jordan Brady when we were at Bob's Espresso, which Bob's is owned by Damone from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And we did the show in front of a crowd, which wasn't really a crowd. And my buddy recorded it, video recorded
yeah.
it. We didn't actually record it like this, but I took the copy off of the camera, of the audio. So it's sort of grainy, like when you go to a concert and hold it up. And that's what it sounds like. So
that's okay. fun.
Good. Like an old cassette tape.
Yeah.
Jordan Brady, we're going to get him on Storyworthy, too. Yeah.
I keep doing the show. And I mean, I have episodes I didn't play, and I won't play. But in the beginning, I couldn't afford the more episodes on my, because I'm on Podbean, my sharing, but now I have unlimited, so I just put on, you know, I mean, sometimes now I'm booking, I'll do two shows on Tuesday. Sometimes if I can, I'm knocking out three shows now, and I just put it like from when my shows airs Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'll do two of them on Wednesday, and then I'll do two on, and I'll mix
sure, and you stockpile.
Yeah, and then I put them on because they always go straight to air on Indie100.com. Mm-hmm, that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 4 p.m. PST.
Well, you really have a great following, and we hope that the folks listening out there that are listening for Steve Cooper, you'll now become a fan of Storyworthy.
I hope so.
That's
and
the
those
plan.
Of you who are fans of Storyworthy, we hope you become fans of Steve Cooper.
Oh, thank that's
you.
Nice. Yeah,
and you know
Cooper
what?
Talk.
That guy with the football, I hope he's dead. I hope his liver exploded.
No, I'm friends with Dan Yokas on Facebook. I said, whatever happened to Mike Nolan? And he goes, I don't know. And he said, and Dan Yokas, I laid off because he said, I really like your posts. They're funny. And I was going to say, you know what? You're a bitch. And he was a kid whose mom would always say, oh, my son would never do that.
Yeah.
So he's a little, but I forgive him because he wasn't as bad as Mike Nolan.
Yeah, fuck Mike
the
Nolan.
The thing is,
that's
I
right.
know a guy named Mike Nolan right now.
I hope it's,
well, it's such an Irish name. It's like, yeah, you're a drinker.
Common.
Yeah, yeah, you've got a big Irish nose.
Exactly. So that's right. Mike Nolan and Cherry Hill.
There you go. All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. Thanks again, Steve, for coming.
Thank you.
I think you're just a fantastic talent. We're really happy to have you. And I'd like to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network for your help today, especially Sean Merrick. You're looking good, Sean.
Thank you.
You look healthier and stronger than ever. You really do.
Yeah, now put your shirt back on.
Part of it,
please.
I think, though, is
Jesus.
You let your hair grow back. Your hair's all coming back, and you look great.
Thank you.
You know?
I like it short, though.
You've got eyebrows again. Yeah, I know. That's the funny thing is, it's really, guys really do like short hair. Like, Sherry likes it if my hair is a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
But guys are not used to the idea of, well, I'll suffer with something in order to look better.
They're like, I just want to shave my head. I don't care.
And that's how they talk, too. That's
exactly how they talk. All men talk like that.
And on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me, Hannes.
Oddly enough, shaved only his legs.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Steve Cooper, and of course you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.